Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome everybody to CMC Radio. I'm your host Rob May, and I'm happy to welcome back to the show Patricia Murphy. Patricia, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Great, great, great. Well, Patricia, I want to just catch everybody up to speed with you and this series. Now we're in the middle of an 8-part series. This is episode 5 of that series, and you know, over the course of the first 4 episodes, you spoke about building preservation and architecture, and you know, the things that you personally have tried to take on that, you know, a lot of people overlook. You know, whether it be tearing down a building for apartment complexes or just new structures altogether, you try to find the historical value. You keep that in mind, and you there are things that you are trying to let people know that, you know, really shows that preservation of history is very important. So why don't you share with us a little bit about the organization that you work with and that you founded and that what you guys are trying to do right now?
Well, I'm with Building Conservation International, and we're pretty much, we're a four-member with the National Trust for Historic Preservation, and we work along other historic preservation groups. And what we want to do is make people aware that we should preserve buildings and not tear things down. You know, this is a whole world of recycling, that instead of throwing things away, we want to recycle, and this is another way of recycling. And we want to preserve the buildings and preserve as much history as we can, because it's good for the environment. People can actually see what our history is about. They can get a feel of it rather than reading it in a book or seeing a picture of it. They can actually see and feel it and experience it by seeing the building that's there. And I think a lot, too many groups and organizations and archdioceses and dioceses, they too fast to tear something down and sell the land, and they feel that the land is more valuable. But what I want people to be aware of, that they can look at options, and they can always keep the buildings that are there and build new structures around them and make the old buildings part of the new complex.
Absolutely.
If they feel, then they can always modify things to suit their needs. And I've seen examples of that done in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Was a great place. So I've seen that done with the steel factories have been made into other uses. And I've seen it in Washington, D.C., where they've built new buildings onto older ones. And because too many people, they want to clear the land and they want to build from scratch, they think it's cheaper to tear down and build back up again. But I feel it's just the opposite, because you already have part of the building already there. You already have the shell. So you don't have to build a whole new shell. You have one already there. You can always gut the inside of it if you have to. And I think another option is for dioceses and archdioceses is that they could actually keep these buildings as investment properties. And they could become real estate investors themselves, and this would be a good cash-flowing income for the church across the country.
Sure.
Because you got these real estate investors that make all this money on these properties, and I think the church can do the same thing. They could become real estate holders and rent these buildings out the same as Donald Trump does and build onto them. I've seen some churches, St. Matthew's Church in Washington, D.C. is another example, where they have taken over some houses and built a big apartment building behind the houses.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tear the houses down. They took the backs off the houses and built the apartment building behind them. There was another church in Washington, D.C., the Emory Fellowship Church.
Right.
That's a Emory Fellowship Methodist Church. There was another church that kept their old building, and they're building an apartment building behind it. So I see a lot of churches actually doing this, and I think they can do this. More churches can do this. And because too many buildings, you have all these churches, they're really made of really nice materials. And somebody was saying about Riverfall, I think that was the name of the place in Boston, some place in Boston, outside of Boston, where they wanted to tear a church down. And they said it was a big, nice big marble church, and it's a beautiful place, but they want to tear it down. And I was telling them, I was that they can keep this church and rent it out, or find a developer that wants to utilize the church and use it for something else. Because they're too fast to want to get money for it.
Right.
And doesn't last. I think it's detrimental to the environment, detrimental to the younger generation.
Sure.
The future generation can come around, they won't have that beauty around them. Everything around the next generation will be all prefabricated boxes.
Are some of the biggest challenges that you face in trying to convince people on this?
Money is a big issue. And a lot of people are too much in a hurry to make money off the property. They want to get it off their hands. Like the churches, they want to get the property off their hands. Like the Jesuit priests in Staten Island, they own this Mount Manresa. They just want to get it off their hands and sell it, make a lot of money on it. And the community was very angry about what they did, because they took down out all the historic trees. They knocked down the buildings. When the developer could actually have left the trees there and left the buildings there and made condominiums out of the buildings and built the houses right on the property amongst the trees. And it would have been a nice, shady area, especially in the summertime. It would have been a nice setting. But they just cleared the land, and without looking at these other options. I've been to a few of the Staten Island meetings about Mount Manresa, and there's other places similar to Mount Manresa that we're afraid that the same thing will happen to. And we want to keep people to be aware of the options that they can take, where everybody can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the big question was, why didn't the developer keep the buildings to make apartments out of them, or condominiums? That could have suited, and they then built houses next to the condominiums and kept the trees, and the place would still be beautiful.
So why do you think the developer did that?
Because I think he's too much in a hurry. I think a lot of people are too much in a hurry. They're too lazy to think of other things to do. They just want to get it done fast and get their money fast. I think that's what it is. And what they're doing is they're destroying our environment. They're destroying the historical value, the aesthetic value. And they're taking away from the community and taking the beauty away from the neighborhoods. And another thing, too, is there'll be a lot of more traffic in an area that has too much traffic right now.
Mm-hmm. And Patricia, let me ask you this then. Now, I know that there's things that people can do, right? And we've gone over some of these things, but why don't you share with people? Because there's always new ideas and new ways to create change. So why don't you tell people the best and most effective ways to get a hold of somebody, or who to get a hold of?
We have sites like LinkedIn. We have sites like Facebook. And we can always connect with groups who have these interests. Look at Facebook and LinkedIn and these other networking sites. And we can network that way and find different groups who are into historic preservation, find developers who are looking for properties like this, and get them involved. Because I don't think a lot of these people, I don't even think, are aware that these places are for sale or available. And in most cases, the community didn't even know Mount Manresa was up for sale. And the theaters in my neighborhood, nobody knew they were up for sale until it was too late, and then somebody came along that wanted to tear them down.
Right.
And what other thing, too, is when a change like that takes place, it has to be made public.
Of course.
And then they put a posting on the front of the building so everybody knows what's going on. And if they like what's going on, then they can accept it. But if they don't like it, then there has to be some kind of compromise. Because if the community doesn't want something there, they're going to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this fighting and everything and court cases and everything could have been avoided by just coming out in the open and communicating with each other what each one has in mind to do with the property.
Right.
And I feel that a lot of these schools and hospitals the same way. They have buildings that they're no longer useful to them, but we can always network and find out how they can use these buildings for their needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say a person knows about a particular building that there's action coming, something's going to happen, and they want to contact you directly. Why don't you tell everybody the best way to contact you?
The best way to contact me would be email at bciorg, the number 2, wait a minute, bciorg, 2ny at yahoo.com. And that stands for Building Conservation International, BCI.
Mm-hmm.
ORG stands for organization, the number 2ny for New York at yahoo.com. They could also contact me by phone at 718-828-1651 and leave a message in my voicemail if I'm not available. That's another way of contacting me by phone, 718-828-1651. And I'll get back to them. They leave their contact information, and I can get back to them.
Perfect. So getting back to what we were speaking about now, I know you mentioned churches. So we have hospitals, schools, and different corporations. The idea of recycling, why don't you delve into that a little bit? Tell us about this possibility.
Too many people want to throw things away whenever something's not useful. The first thing people think of is throw it out and get something completely new. And we find that that's hurting the environment because now we have a lot of trash piling up, unused stuff, landfills and everything. And buildings, it's the same way. They want to throw the building away when it's no longer useful and becomes a white elephant. Like a church closes up, everybody sees it as a white elephant, and they feel it's outlived its use. But a church can always be made into a restaurant. It could be made into a nightclub, a community center. It could even be made into apartments, and I've seen that done, where they made churches into apartments. I've seen churches made into stores. I've seen old banks that were made into stores, where they left all the architecture inside intact. And I felt that was a great idea. I was in Philadelphia, where I saw a couple of them, mm-hmm. old bank buildings that were made into food markets. And you walk in, and the old marble floors and the columns and all the fixtures are still intact. They're still inside the building. And it makes the place interesting looking, because it's a unique space that they're using. And because too many modern places are all the same, they're bland, they're boxy, and it lacks character. By using these old buildings, they have character, and I think it's good for their business because people walk in and they see something different, a marble floor, an ornate ceiling, marble columns, and it adds interest to the store, and it could attract people just to see that and do business. Because it's something unusual, and I feel that having something unusual and away from the common thing is an attraction. Anytime I see something unusual looking, I go in just to look at it, whether it's a bank or a store.
Sure, absolutely.
And I can do business that way.
The idea of when they turn different buildings, from whatever they were into like a restaurant. I always love going into a cool restaurant that has a weird theme based off of the original building that it's in,
Yeah. There's a train station in Indianapolis. I was in Indianapolis a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this beautiful train station that was actually made into a hotel. And
oh,
on the
cool.
floors, the tracks, the railroad tracks were still there, and you could see the tracks going running right through the hotel. And it was so interesting. I took pictures of it to see, you know, and this was all hotel space. Now the railroad track station was no longer in use at all for any, and the tracks were no longer used, but they kept all these features in the hotel, and it made a very interesting hotel, which I thought could add to their business, because
sure.
I think people like unusual things, and they're more likely to stay in some place that's unusual, and rather than staying in something very ordinary. I think variety, you know, they say is a spice of life.
Of course, yeah, and I mean that's again the idea behind, and I'm really glad that you brought that up of turning something, you know, a new idea. Sure, you can change something from what it was into something else, but leave something of the original work there. You know, just to give it that feel, that vibe, that definitely appeals to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, I think it does.
Absolutely.
Because, you know,
go ahead.
Because when people see the same thing all the time, it gets boring.
Definitely.
And when they
yeah.
see something unusual, it's life isn't so boring, you know, it's because it just makes life more interesting to see the unusual things rather than
sure.
the same thing all the time. And too many of the new buildings they put up are just boxes. And that's one of the things that people ought to look at.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for everyone just joining us in this episode, I'm with Patricia Murphy, and this is part 5 of our 8-part series. And Patricia is... she's been discussing building preservation and really, you know, trying to keep intact that appreciation for historical, you know, buildings. And I mean, really, you know, what amazes me, Patricia, about, you know, what you're trying to do. And I say trying because I know that it has to be difficult because people are always looking for new ways to make money. And everyone thinks the best way to make money is to tear something down and build up anew.
Yeah, too often.
You know, and I think that, you know, there's definitely there has to be a population of people that do appreciate it just as much as you or I would. I know, you know, in past episodes we even discussed how they tear down old baseball stadiums now and they put up, you know, all of these new modern facilities which come with, you know, every nook and cranny you could possibly want, but it does lose that original value of nostalgia almost, you know?
Yes, it does.
And so, Patricia, the other interesting thing that I saw that you wanted to kind of discuss a bit was the idea of renting out these places, these hospitals, churches, schools, and other corporations. Who would you say, who are we trying to rent these out to?
I think the churches can actually rent schools out as charter schools. You know, like you have new charter schools that open up, and I feel that they can sell them for that purpose. Like a lot of these old schools could be either
right.
rented out to be a charter school, or they could be rented out, sold to make a charter school, as long as they keep it that way. Churches can rent out the church itself as a community center. They can rent it out for corporate events. They can have a catering place, so they can actually rent the churches out for that.
Right.
And other buildings like colleges that may have buildings that they don't want anymore, they can rent them out as apartments. And they can come up with all kinds of ways if they think outside the box.
Right.
That was one of the things Donald Trump talked about, was thinking outside the box, because so many people, they're too limited in what the ideas they come up with are just too limited. But you can, if you really think, you can come up with all kinds of ideas.
Sure. Now you personally, Patricia, I'm curious about I want to present an idea to you about this. Now, let's say you have a building that is in bad shape. We'll say it, you know, that people deem it, you know, dangerous for anyone to walk into. What is the best option in that case, in that scenario, when there's a building that's kind of, you know, it doesn't meet up to health standards and it's falling apart here and there? What can you do?
I think the main thing is to contact the owner and find out why they allowed the building to get that way,
mm-hmm.
and encourage the owner to fix the building up. And I think that there could be different grants. That's one of the reasons why I'm working on a foundation, is because I would like to give grants to people who have a building like that where they can fix it up.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't afford to keep a building, then they can find somebody who can afford to use it and somebody who has the money to fix it up and does that. Because I've known people who have had buildings that were falling apart because they couldn't afford the expense of repairing the roof and
right.
the upkeep. They couldn't afford it. So the best thing is to find somebody that can afford it and sell it
mm-hmm.
to them. And or apply for a grant. Get a grant from any kind of bank
mm-hmm.
or a foundation. There are certain foundations that are out now that give grants to people who want to fix up a building in it. And this is one of the big things I'm working on, is to put this foundation together so I can have a large amount of money that will actually cash flow and I can give grants out to people.
Right. And I know that you do a bunch of different things, really, to try to raise funds now to get the company off the ground. But how easy is it for people to apply for grants like that to get money to keep a building intact?
Well, I think for an individual that owns a building, they may not know how to apply for a grant, but they can go on the Internet and maybe Google and find out how to apply for a grant and find out all the sites that give out grants and apply to these grants and then contact people who know how to apply for them and help them. They can contact different people, maybe the historic preservation groups in their area, and let them know that they have this building that they want to fix up and have the preservation group find them somebody who can give them a grant to fix it up, or even a loan.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or if any other way, they can all find a buyer and sell it. So we have all kinds of ways. And they do have people that can help write up applications for grants. The best way is to go online and find it. Google's a good place to find those things.
Right. Absolutely. And now, aside from your organization, obviously, Building Conservation International, what are some of the best websites, as you just mentioned, going on the web and hitting Google? What are some of the best websites that you know about to find out about, you know, to find out more about preservation, or, you know, the websites to contact people directly to get an answer or to do something, to take a stand and try to, you know, help in this situation?
National Trust for Historic Preservation is a good one to contact. And then there's a Land Conservancy,
mm-hmm.
Landmarks Conservancy in New York City, and a Historic District Council. They'd be good people to contact, and they can find information for you. And other local groups like the townships, the cities, land and land planning, all these
right.
groups can help you call these people and let them know what you want, and they'll tell you what to do.
Oh, that's great. And I know that before the show you mentioned a little trip that you took up to the Rhode Island, New England area. Were there any, you know, did anything kind of stick out in your mind architecturally about some of the buildings up there?
Yeah, a lot of things. They have renovated a lot of buildings up there, and there was a complex just outside of Bristol, I found a complex of new houses that they recently built, and they're still building them, and they're building them in the old style. And they look like old farmhouses because of the style of their wood inside. They have wooden floors, hardwood floors, framing around the windows. And also, I never would know that these were brand new houses. They look like they were there for like since the early 1900s because of the materials that they used, the style that they built it in with the front porches and all. And I was very happy to see that. So a lot of times they can actually build houses like that too, and buildings to look old. And I've seen that done. And that's another thing that I would like to do in the future, is to encourage people to build in the older style and build buildings that were duplicates of buildings that have been torn down. We can actually bring them back. And another thing is that I've seen some stores and that were made into other uses. I saw the power companies and old factories. There were many old factories up there that were made into apartments and condominiums.
Mm-hmm.
There were old factory buildings that were made into offices. And along the river, I saw a big complex that they're making a school out of, a power station. You know, these big power stations with the smokestacks on them.
Yes.
It was one of these, and they're currently making a school out of it. It's still empty, but they're starting to work on it. And a nursing college that they're turning it into.
Oh,
so I was
pleased
to see that, yeah, they're doing a lot of this in Providence and the surrounding areas of Providence. Even in Boston, I've seen that done, where they've turned old factory buildings into apartments and offices and condominiums. And sometimes I think the colleges, too, can do that, where they've taken over old buildings and made them into dormitories,
right,
or college buildings. So I've seen a lot of the colleges do that, and I would like to see Temple University do that in Philadelphia. Because Philadelphia has some nice old buildings that Temple can use for their purpose.
And now for you personally, I know that you're based out of New York, but where else did you kind of grow up in? What areas?
Philadelphia. I spent most of my life in Philadelphia. So I saw a lot of architecture there, and I've seen some buildings restored, but I've seen others torn down too. I've seen
Sure.
too many buildings get torn down in Philadelphia. Houses, churches, schools, and the communities, they wanted the buildings saved, and they would have liked to have seen the buildings kept there. And there was a big mansion outside of Philadelphia called Stotesbury Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a huge place. It looked like a palace, but it was just rotting there for years. And a company did take over, a pharmaceutical company took over it for a while, but for some reason they didn't stay there permanently. They just stayed there for a few years and moved out, and the place laid vacant and just fell apart, and they demolished it. And then there's another building that's similar to it just outside of Philadelphia. That's still there, but it's in poor shape. And it would be nice to see somebody take over that and fix it up, because it's a very beautiful building.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, Patricia, we are actually running out of time for today's episode. But again, very glad to say that we do have you coming back on for four more episodes. Every other week, same time though, on Tuesday nights at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, quickly, why don't you let people know the best way to contact you for more information?
Okay, they can email me at bciorg2ny@yahoo.com. So that's B like in boy, C like in cat, I like in igloo, O like in orange, R like in rat, G like in girl, the number 2, NY for New York, @yahoo.com. And they can also call me at 718-828-1651 and leave a message in my voicemail if I'm not available to talk at the time. they can leave a message with their in my voicemail with their contact information, and I'll get back to them.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for today's show. Again, I really appreciate you coming on, Patricia. And we will see you again in 2 weeks, all right?
Yes.
All right. Well, from everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Good night, everybody.
Okay, thank you. Bye.